Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Before we do, I always love to pause and share a verse with us that helps remind us that we have a good God, amen? Who believes that today? We have a good God, he is here, he wants to do work through his word, says that his word is alive, it's active, that faith comes by hearing the good news, and it says that we're actually saved by faith through grace. And so how are we saved? When we have faith, access that faith because of God's grace, and that actually happens when we hear. And so when we hear God's word proclaimed, God can do some powerful things with it. Who believes that today? I hope you do. And so before we jump into our main content, this is what Ephesians 1 says. And I think there's some amazing truths for us to hear today as we start. It says this. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing to himself through Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Listen to this in verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Can I get an amen in there? Amen. Do you believe that today? I want to highlight a couple things as we start, and we're going to talk about some of them throughout today. First off, it says that if you are in Christ, you have been blessed with every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I want you to pause for a minute and think about what that actually means. Because you are united with Jesus, who was flawless, who was fully righteous, he was God who came down, fully God and fully man on our behalf. He purchased your and my freedom for all who would believe in him. And it says, because of that, we have been blessed with every single spiritual blessing that there is in the heavenly realms. Do you think about what that actually means, how blessed we are? That's a little convicting for me because sometimes I struggle with contentment. Anyone else struggle with contentment in your life? I think it's so funny on, you know, Thanksgiving in our culture, it's like the next day is like the biggest sales in America, right? Where the next day of Thanksgiving, we're out, and I'm not saying that's bad. I love to look at the ads and get good deals and all that stuff, but I think it's so funny that the day after Thanksgiving, it's like Black Friday, and we have all these sales. Our blessings may not be what we see in front of us. It may not look how we think it needs to look. But who in here gives their kids everything all the time whenever they want it? Anyone? Probably not. Probably wouldn't be very great for them. Sometimes that looks different. But according to God, we have been blessed with every single blessing that there is. That he has showered his kindness on us. And we're going to journey through today because in that reality, God, as we receive that, things happen inside us. It changes us. And today, if there's even one thing that you could grasp from today in his word that God could use in your life, that would be a win. But before we get going too far of where we're going, here's a little bit about where we've been. This series is called Rooted. Everyone say rooted. Rooted. And it's talking about where are we rooted? Are we rooted in Christ? Is he our confidence? Is he our strength? Week one, we talked about how we're to be planted by the river of life, that we can plant ourselves and make our roots in whatever the world says, will satisfy and what the world says that we should be about and do, or we can plant ourselves and make him our security. And we're going to read the verse here in a minute that has to do with this whole series. Last week did a really awesome job. Blake Whiteman talked about biblical stewardship involves sacrifice, because this series is called Rooted, but it's a series talking about generosity. Because when we look biblically, a lot of times generosity is linked to, in response to God, obedience happens when you respond to the things and realities of God's kindness. It changes us and it changes the way that we live. And we become generous because our God is generous. Who's thankful that our God is generous? I'm so glad. And as you start spending time with him and your roots grow into him, you start to become like him. And so we've talked about how God has called us to be obedient in generosity in the things of tithe and offerings above and beyond our tithe, because God is generous and God works through his people to help reflect the gospel in what we're doing. And we're going to talk more about that today. And then week three today is biblical sacrifice leads to blessing. This is Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. If you missed this series where we have talked a lot about throughout this series, it says this. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. How many of you have had seasons of drought in your life and in your story, or storms or things going on around you? What it's saying here is when we are rooted in Christ, when he is our strength, when he is our confidence, when we put our trust in him and who he is, that we don't have to be worried about the things that are going on around us, that we can reflect him and in trust. And if maybe you've asked this question about, as we're talking about being rooted in Christ, why is that the generosity series? I want to read this fact to you that is a biblical fact about the Bible. I found this very fascinating. I believe it'll be on the screen behind me, because a lot of times these conversations can be linked. It says this, did you know that there are roughly 2,350 verses concerning money in the Bible? That's almost twice as many as verses about faith and prayer combined. Jesus had a lot to say about money. Nearly 15% of everything Jesus spoke about related to money and possessions. Who would agree in our culture that it is very easy to get wrapped up in what you have, the status you have, be you, get what you can get, have what you have, and get the most that you can? Who would agree? That is our culture. And as we're talking about generosity, when you become aware of who God is and the generosity that he has poured out on our behalf, it leads to generosity. And one of the many idols, and I'd say one of the bigger ones in our culture, is money. It is money, it is where people put their confidence, it's how people spend all their time to go get more of it, and it can be an empty pursuit. Now, last week we talked about that money is not evil. We talked about that the love of money is evil. That when we love it and crave it and seek after it, money in itself, it says, tell the people who are rich in the world to be generous. It doesn't say not to be rich in the world, but it does say what is at the core of you. Which leads to my first point in here, is we sacrifice because he sacrificed. As we look at the gospel, as we already mentioned in Ephesians, he has poured out his kindness, his mercy, his grace on you. He has showered you. Think about that word for a minute. And when you've been showered with that mercy and grace, and when you come to the reality that he purchased your freedom, notice that the word purchased means it cost him something. Did you know that the gospel, salvation comes and it has to be received freely? Because if it wasn't, we would be doomed, because none of us can pay our own way. There is such a debt that we can't make up for it. We can't earn it ourselves. We can't do enough to do away with the past. Jesus only could pay our debt. Who's glad for that? Jesus paid our debt. Yes. And in that, though, did it cost him something? It cost him everything, didn't it? He sacrificed it all. Jesus came and he spent time with the broken. He spent his time with people. He poured out miracles and fed people and healed people. He used his talents. We call it talent and treasure. But he purchased, he spent his resources and all of it out on us to purchase our freedom. And the Bible says this in Romans 12 when it comes to sacrifice. I love this as a lens always when we're talking about obedience. It says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead you with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." It says, in light of what God has sacrificed for you, that was designed to shock us awake. Do you guys ever remember when you realized sin is what it actually is? Destructive, separating, damaging, empty, right? And then when you see what Jesus has done and he bore our sins and he stood on that cross, it was designed to go, what are we doing? What are we doing? And I don't deserve this. And God, I can't believe you would give this to me. And God, thank you. And then in light of that, we now be obedient to God, not because we have to, but because we get to. That we no longer have to live for the things of darkness, but we get to live for the things of light. And it talks about how when you start to realize that you have victory in Jesus, we have victory in Jesus, if you didn't know that, for those of us who believe. We have victory, that we get to be called children of God. And when that is a reality in our lives, it says that there are some things that happen inside us. Listen to this in 1 John 5. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commands. Loving God," listen to this, "means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." You know, for me as an ex-addict coming to know the Lord and realizing what God had done and then realizing that I could live a life different, you know, before God's commands, I grew up in the church, they were burdensome to me. But you know, now that I'm walking with Christ, you know what now is burdensome to me? Sin. It changes. In light of Christ, and when you receive it, and when you really believe it, now what becomes burdensome is my sin. Now I want to do the things of God, but now my sin is burdensome, and I hate when I sin, and I hate when I stumble. And when it comes to being generous, and what God has called us to be about, that we're called to bring our tithes to the church, so that the church can reflect and get glory, God can get glory through his people, that people will see there is something different about these Christians. And if it was not for people who lived that out in my story, that I would not be here today. People who met with me, pursued me, who were generous to me, who gave of their time and their money and their resources. And I went, okay, there's got to be something different. And all these things I believed before, maybe it's different because people in this church decided to live out what God had asked them to. And I get to be here today because of it. And we get to as well. But God's commandments and him asking us to be about what he has asked us to be about, they aren't burdensome any longer. Our sin becomes burdensome. And we go, God, we want to be generous as you have been generous. Who has been generous? Anyone been generous to you in your life? Anyone in here have someone be generous to you? And you're like, what is this? Have you been on the other end where someone probably should have been that is a Christian and wasn't? That didn't sit very well with you maybe? You see, when we decide to live out what God has called us to, God works. Acts 20:35 is an example of this, and Paul is talking about the words of what Jesus said about generosity and how he modeled it. It says, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." Have any of you ever actually seen that played out in your own life? I remember for me, it was always about me. Wake up and how do I please me? Wake up and I'll, you know, I will do whatever it takes to stab anyone in the back that I need to so that I can have what I need and what I want. And now as God has changed my heart and as he changes our hearts, now it is a blessing to give, isn't it? It is a blessing when you sit with someone who's hopeless where you once used to be, or sometimes as a believer where you can get as you walk with Christ because it's a battle, and you sit there with someone and you're sharing hope with them and that God can work in them and that God loves them, and you see the lights go off in their mind and their heart, and you go, you don't go, "Oh man, that was a waste of time." I've never once went, "That was a waste of time." Or someone is in need and they need help and you get the moment and the opportunity to bless them. Never once did I go, "Man, I really wish I didn't get to do that." You see, it is a blessing as God changes us in light of who he is, that we get to be obedient to him, not because we have to, not to earn our way, not to be good enough, not to do any of those things, but in light of who Jesus is, we get to be Jesus to others. Jesus talked about in the gospel that he came to give life and to give life in abundance, that he wanted us to live the abundant life. Who would like to have an abundant life? I think everyone. But do you know how Jesus talked about the abundant life? Jesus said that I didn't come to be served, that I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. He talks about how no greater love than it is to lay your life down for your brothers and for your friends. He defined the abundant life as a life of sacrifice and loving others, because it is at that, and it is how we are generous and live those things out, that it is truly a blessing to see. Which leads me to my next point. I want to ask this question as the point: do we really understand the gospel? I'm not saying you don't. I'm asking myself this. Do we really understand the gospel? If you're in here today, I want you to hear this in 1 John 4. I want you to hear the utmost love that God has for you. And I want to talk about this question. Do we really understand the gospel? 1 John 4:9 says this: God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Listen to this in verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. I want you to get what this is saying. He's saying, if we are that loved, if we're that loved, that he showed us, that he sacrificed for us, surely we ought to love each other. Surely we ought to reflect who he is. Surely we ought to live this out. 1 John 3:17 says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? This should convict us. In a culture that promotes having more and more and more, it seems like we never have enough. And I convictingly say that myself. And this question is, do we really understand the gospel? When you are met with mercy when you don't deserve it, when you are met with kindness and grace and love, it changes you. And now your heart beats the way that God's heart beats. And when it comes to where are we rooted and where is our security and what do we live out and what we're called to, we get to be obedient. Someone who is impacted and receives Jesus will live an obedient life. Not because they have to earn it, not because they have to go out and earn their way, but because they see who Jesus is. Everyone say bondservant. You know what a bondservant is? A bondservant is someone who could be free given the opportunity, but chooses, because they've experienced how great the master is, they've experienced how good he is, how faithful he is, that they could go and be free, but they choose willfully to subject themselves, to have them continue to be the master because of their utmost respect, their utmost love and desire to please that master. Paul says we are bondservants in light of what Jesus has done and the generosity that God has poured out through the cross, that he bore our sin, that he came and changed our eternities for those who would receive him. The response of that is a bond servant, to be obedient to the things of God, to be like a tree that is rooted in life. And now my resources, my obedience comes because I always want to try and please the master. Do we do this perfectly? No. Does anyone do this perfectly? Am I the only one? No. It's hard. We make mistakes. We get selfish. Anyone struggle with contentment? Anyone struggle with wanting to be obedient to God and not understanding some of the things of God? But God has called us as a part of that obedience to bring our tithes to the church so that God can use the church to glorify him, that he can use our above and beyond offerings, as we talked about last week, to show who God is, and that we're not just talking about it. We are living out the generosity that we have been shown through Jesus, and we want to be obedient, not because we have to, but because we get to, amen? Preach on this all day. I want to talk about two different stories today of people who are impacted the way in which I'm talking about. Or one of them is someone who is impacted, and another one is an example. This story, I'm going to story. You can go back and check my work later. This first one is Zacchaeus in Luke 19, 1 through 10. You guys probably know the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I love that's in there. You guys got to laugh at that. Come on. So one day, Zacchaeus was this tax collector, and here's a little bit of context to tax collectors. Tax collectors were Jews hired by the Romans, which, by the way, Romans were Gentiles, and the Gentiles were hated because they were filthy. You weren't supposed to associate with them. You weren't supposed to talk to them, nothing, because they were the people who were evil and not doing the things of God, and they had all these bad contexts. Instead of loving the Gentiles, they disassociated from them. And so these Jews that were hired by the Romans went to their own people, and they didn't care, the Romans didn't care if you stole all kinds of money from your own people as long as they got their money. So these Jews would get rich off of their own people and their own family members, and they became filthy, filthy rich off of their own people and their own family members. So they were hated more than the Gentiles. So Zacchaeus hears Jesus is coming through the crowd. He tries to get there. He can't see. He's short. And so he can't get through the crowd, which is implying, if you know the context, that he was so hated he couldn't even get through the crowd. So he climbs up in a tree. Jesus immediately sees Zacchaeus, and he goes to him and says, I'm going to your house. Here's some more context in the culture. If you read the passage, it says that they grumbled. Why are you going to such a sinner's house? If you go deeper into that story, when someone went to their house, it means that I accept you, I care about you, and I love you. And so when he went to his house, it was like saying, I love this guy publicly to everyone, and it made them mad. Zacchaeus was so impacted, you guys, that he said, I'm gonna give back 10 times the amount that I've taken. That's a lot of money if you look at the story and you understand the culture. It's a lot of money. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today because you just paid your way to heaven. No, no. Some of you are like, what kind of church is this? That is not it. That is not it. You see, his heart changed. His heart changed. It wasn't about the money. Although God calls us to be obedient with the money, his heart changed in the face of meeting Jesus. And in light of that, money doesn't matter anymore. What matters is I want to do what God wants me to do. because my ways don't work. My ways leave me empty. My ways leave me broken and hopeless and in shame. It changed. Another story in Luke 10, someone comes to Jesus. Luke 10, verses 30 through 37, if you want to follow along, you can. In Luke 10, someone comes to Jesus and says, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." He says, "Equally so, love your neighbor." And then the man wants to justify his actions and says, "Well, who is my neighbor then?" And he tells a story. He says that there is a man who is a Jew who is on a journey. And on his journey, he gets attacked on a road by thugs and beaten up and left for dead. And then another man comes, and he's a priest, and he sees the man on the road, the Jew. And the priest sees him, and he leaves him. The priest, who is supposed to be the one who does the things of God, who's supposed to love people, who's supposed to take care of them, sees him, and he leaves him. The next one, it says a temple assistant comes along, and he sees him, another one who works in the temple, someone who's supposed to see their fellow Jews especially and help them and love them and take care of them. He sees him and he leaves him. Then it says a despised Samaritan. Everyone say despised Samaritan. Back in the day, you were not supposed to associate with Samaritans. They were half-breeds. They were unclean. So a despised Samaritan comes along and sees a Jew. And the Samaritan would have hated the Jew because of how the Jews treated them. And it says he was filled with compassion. It says he tended to his wounds. He put him on his donkey. He took him to an inn, paid the whole price. Then he gave him 2 coins. And says, "If it goes beyond this, I'll come back and pay all of it." He says, "Who do you think loved the neighbor?" And he says, "The one that served him." He said, "Yes, now go and do the same likewise." What does this story teach us in the context of this? Where are we rooted today? Where is our real security in? Is it about me and I and my time? The priest probably was going to do some good stuff. How many of us get busy? How many of us can get even busy with the things of good things? But it says here that we're to love our neighbors. And this picture in this story is who's done this for us? His name is Jesus. Jesus picks us up. Jesus was filled with compassion. Jesus paid our way. Jesus comes and loves us. And in light of these things, we are called to be obedient to him and to the things of God. And this leads us to our last section. It's a blessing. Everyone say it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. How many of you, think about this for a minute. How many of you remember what it's like to live in darkness? Like really remember it. It's very easy to forget, isn't it? Years go by and you start to learn things and you forget. I remember very clearly what it's like to live in darkness. I remember one day I had my third DUI and the cop had me in the car, and I remember just putting my hands on my head, and I got to watch this video back because there was some court things and they had me watch this video, and I remember just looking at myself with my hands on my head, just shaking my head in disbelief. Here I am again. Shame, guilt. How did I get here again? Have you ever been ashamed of yourself and your decisions and your actions? Maybe your story isn't drugs. Maybe it's pride. Even as a believer, envy, selfishness. See, it is a blessing. The Bible makes it clear that we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness and put into a kingdom of light. We no longer have to live for the things of shame, for the things that don't satisfy, for the things that leave us empty, and it's all about us, and we're on our own island, and it's all about me. Now we get to be obedient. It is a blessing. Obedience is a blessing. You know why? Because Christ has already paid the price. Christ has already done what needs to be done. Jesus said, "It's finished. Now I don't have to earn my way. God paid my price." Amen? Amen. And now I'm obedient because I get to be obedient. I get to bring my tithes to the church so that the church can manifest God's generosity to a dying world of people that need to understand the gospel. And they might not at first glance listen to our words, but when we live it out and the church gets to be shown as doing the hands and feet of Jesus, it catches heads, doesn't it? Should be. Sometimes the church doesn't do that, does it? Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes there's people involved. Sometimes it's hard, but we get to live for the things of God. I can remember so many examples in my own story of people in this church doing this for me. I remember when I was homeless, and I remember that one crazy Christian that actually showed some kind of interest that I'd get on the phone. His name is Miles Devlin. He runs the recovery ministry out at our Post Falls campus. And I said, I'm homeless again. I'm pretty sure he said, "You're an idiot." And I said, "I got nowhere to go." And I was in tears. And he says, "You can come to my house." I want you to think about this, guys. I was so horrible at that season of life. And he took me in. He took me in into his home with his kids. And I'm not saying that's always wise. You got to be wise. But in that situation, man, he spent time with me. He talked to me. He used his talents. He was so talented in recovery. He did all that. But then he took me home and he fed me. We call that our offerings, our above and beyond, because he was faithful to tithing to the church like God had said, but he also was like, "I'm gonna be above and beyond, and I'm gonna take this kid in." There are people that need to be taken in. There are people that need to see God in his people live this out. Is it easy? No. You know, there was a time when I finally got to come around and God had used so many different people to open my eyes. And then I heard the same kind of message. "We're called to tithe." And I was like, "We're called to what?" You know, I don't like that. Look at my account. I can't tithe. I can't afford it. Right? And then God started working on my heart. And I started to realize it's not about doing it to check a box. It's not about doing it because, you know, people up on a stage tell us to do it and it's because they want my money. No, it's because God has called us to be generous and to trust him. Where will we trust? Where will we be planted? Will we trust in our own bank accounts? Our own strength? Our own effort? What we can get for ourselves and store for ourselves? And I had a decision. Am I going to tithe or pay my bills? I decided in that instance to do the tithe. And I'll just say this, there was many times where I chose the other at that season. And I can't tell you, this doesn't always happen. We don't tithe and we don't do this so that God blesses us. We've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Even if I don't see it here and now, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. But there was an envelope that showed up with the exact amount that I needed for paying my rent. And I'm not saying that always happens. There were people that showed up when I didn't have a car and they gave me a car. Sometimes I didn't even know who it was in certain circumstances. There are certain times as I saw that, as God worked on my heart, that I got to live that out with others. And I'll tell you this, not one time ever have I ever sat with someone and shared encouragement with the hopeless and then later went, "Oh, I can't believe I wasted my time." Not one time, guys. Not one time when I've gotten to see a need and been able to fill that need. And I'm not talking about giving so you can't live, so that you can't do it. It says that we're to do that with wisdom. But not one time did I ever go, "I really wish I never did that." You know how many times as a parent, who's a parent? We got some parents in the rooms. You know how many times you have to make a decision where it's like, "I have to make this decision for my kid. And that means I have nothing left over." You know how many times, though, that you're just like, "I'm glad to do it for my kids." You see, this sacrifice is a blessing. When we sacrifice, when you really know and understand where the darkness was, you guys, and you've lived in it, and then now you're out of it, it is a blessing to live in the light, to do things, to love people. And then when you're not, because who struggles with any of this? Anyone? When you're not, God comes in and he convicts your heart, but it's not condemnation and fear and obligation and you better or you're not gonna be blessed or you better or you're going to hell. None of that. God loves me and you. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians 9, as we get ready to wrap up, it says this, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank who? God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers." Listen, will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. As the ushers get ready to pass out communion, I want to ask these closing questions today. Don't miss these. One, do you see? Do not miss this. If God speaks through his word and God wants you to learn and grow and experience him, do you see that Christ has sacrificed everything for you? If the devil is lying to you and makes you think that you can't be forgiven because of what you've done, God has sacrificed everything so that your eternity can be changed forever. This, it says in the Bible, that we are like a mist, here today and gone tomorrow. This time is very short in the scope of eternity. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And there are two destinations in which all of us will go. And Jesus sacrificed his life in love with his blood so that you could be with him for eternity. And in that, I want to ask you, do you really understand the gospel? Because if you do, it leads to a bondservant heart and mentality. And if you are stuck there, then you need to revisit the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the love and the goodness of God. Because in that, it pierces your heart. It changes you from the inside out. And it just changes everything that you do. Three, where are you rooted today? Have you been in your own strength? Have you been seeking pleasure? Have you been seeking a good moral life? Not even a bad one, just a good moral life by your own efforts. Today, God wants to be your strength because guess what? The only way is to surrender. And I'll tell you what, guys, it's a lot better. Is it hard? Is there a battle? Is there difficulty? Is there opposition? Is there adversity? Is there attack from the enemy? Yes, but you don't have to do it alone. God sits with you. His people will come around you. Where are you rooted? Lastly, what step do you need to take from this series? Maybe it's a step that you need to take of generosity, that you need to go, God, I need to stop trusting my own self and I'm going to be obedient to what you call us to be about. Maybe it's, I'm gonna need to stop being isolated. I need to stop trying to protect and get everything in order because of all the things that are gonna happen. And so I'm gonna have everything dotted and teed and everything right when it does. It's exhausting.
We wanna thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.